Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. Hope everybody is doing well. We are talking Titans, and to help us do that, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, good morning. How are you?
I am delightful, fellas. How are you?
We're awesome. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. Corey, Ryan Tannehill yesterday, not good. We've discussed it so far throughout the show. Three picks for Tannehill yesterday. He probably could have thrown four or five in that game. Mm-hmm. The protection was bad early on. There's a lot of things you could point to with the Titans yesterday, but I thought that might have been the worst game that Tannehill's played in a Titans uniform. What did you make of his performance yesterday and how it got so bad?
Yeah, I have a hard time thinking that I've seen him play worse than that one, because you talked about the three picks, and then there were two or three more that the Saints had their hands on that could have been picked and maybe should have been. And then the two huge misses to Okonkwo and Tajay Spears, where they were so open he could have practically punted it to those guys.
Yeah,
I mean, those plays don't just happen. I mean, when they do, you have to take advantage of them. You have to seize those plays. And so they were just huge misses. And, you know, they lost by 1 point. They lost by 1 point. You erase one of those mistakes, and they win the game. And you can do that all over the place. And I'm sure the Saints could say probably the same thing. But we're talking about the Titans. And, you know, they lost by 1 point on the road and made enough mistakes, you know, to have lost by 20. So it's an odd game, but it's week one, and that's kind of the norm.
So I look at Tannehill, Corey, and I agree. I think that's easy. I don't know about it easily. The Bengals game was obviously very bad, but it's the worst he's played just in terms of just consistently being off, you know?
Yeah.
Whether it's decision-making or throws through an entire game. The Bengals game, he made good throws also. I mean, in this game, it was there wasn't much unless he was targeting NWI. But and we've seen enough from him that I feel like, you know, we're going to see him bounce back. But what about the offense concerns you most after that entire performance?
Well, I mean, the quarterback concerned me the most in that performance because, you know.
Moving forward, he's your biggest concern?
Look, the offensive line's been my biggest concern all summer, so it's going to continue to be my biggest concern. But I don't think they're why they lost the game. I mean, you look at the throw to Spears and the throw to Okonkwo. He wasn't under duress when he made those throws, and he just missed. Now there was a interception to the right side where he really couldn't step into the throw. You know, there were times where I thought he bailed to pressure that wasn't really that strong. I mean, he just looked off. He just looked off, and you're right. His body of work says he's not going to be that again, okay? You know, does that mean I think he's going to be Johnny Unitas or Joe Montana next week? No, but I expect him to be Ryan Tannehill, because the guy we saw yesterday wasn't the guy that we've come accustomed to seeing, even on days where he hasn't been. You know, you go to the Ravens playoff loss. He wasn't great that day, but he wasn't like he was in this one. So the offensive line has to continue – you know, to be the group that you pay attention to. But, you know, again, if you complete passes that are open, it's not that much of a discussion right now.
Corey, the Derrick Henry part of this, obviously we knew Tim Kelly and the system was going to change heading into this year, and it was going to be a different-looking offense. Derrick Henry averaging over 5 yards a carry in the first half yesterday, adds another 50 through the air, including 46 on a screenplay. You get to the end of the game, Corey, and you look at the offensive numbers, and Derrick Henry played just 47.5% of the offensive snaps. Mm-hmm. How does that happen, and how do you make sure that doesn't happen if you're the Titans moving forward?
Well, it's kind of shocking because it's not something we're used to. And he had 107 combined yards at halftime.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's a huge factor of the offense. And I understand wanting to get Tajay Spears. I mean, the kid's a lightning bolt. So I'm not opposed to putting him in, but having Derrick Henry in for less than half your snaps seems to be problematic in some sense. And I don't know about you guys, as I'm watching that game yesterday, and, you know, they're struggling to get kind of on track, whether it be Tannehill missing a throw or Treylon Burks, you know, dropping a critical pass that was actually on target and should have been a first down. I kept expecting Vrabel to kind of go back to that drive he would have when Arthur Smith was the offensive coordinator, where he's just like, we're just going to line up and we're just going to run him over for 12 plays.
Right.
And that's what I kept waiting for yesterday. We're just going to line up and we're just going to run him over for 12 plays. And, you know, I guess that's probably what most Titan fans are complaining about, that predictability of that. But at some point, that's still who this team is, and it's how I expected them to kind of get on track. And there was some evidence that they were going to be able to do it because Henry had had some success, you know, in the run game. Look, Spears had good runs. He was wide open on that pass play. So, you know, he added some elements to the offense that we expected him to. But Derrick Henry, still arguably among the very best players on your team, has got to play more than half the snaps. And, by the way, played, what was it, 47-48% of the snaps? And some of those were with Spears on the field at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. No, it's – well, I thought the same thing. I mean, first of all, in the second quarter, you know, he had some stretches where you're like, wow, they might just pulverize the Saints with this guy today, you know?
Yeah.
And then it didn't. Now, they did go to him here and there in the second half, and nothing was working. You know, he was getting stacked up, so
yeah,
you go away from it. But I do feel like there's a little bit of a – right? I mean, it's game one. It's a new OC. It's a new offense. But a little bit of a, like, you need to figure out your identity moving forward. You agree with that? Like, they looked like a team that's just trying to – figure it out, and they were kind of all over the place.
Kind of looks like maybe they should have played some in the preseason.
Oh, no, don't do this. Don't do this.
No, it's week one.
The offensive line did play in the preseason, looked great against the Bears, and then they played in a real game, and what happened?
Well, you know what? Again, the offensive line isn't why they lost this football game. I'm going to repeat it over and over again. They weren't, you know, world beaters, but they didn't overshoot Okonkwo and Spears. They didn't blow the play dead against Kevin Byard and Arden Key. You know, they can protect better. They can run better. They can coach better. They can do all that. But the plays were there to win the game. They were. And so, you know, that group needs to be better without question. They were good enough to win yesterday. They were. Whether you want to believe it or not, those mistakes weren't made by the offensive line that could have won the football game.
Oh, I agree with that. I just don't think if Ryan Tannehill goes out and plays three series against the Patriots backups and all of a sudden he's hitting those throws because of that.
Oh, no, yeah. I mean, I do think that you can play some in the preseason. And I think there's a lot of teams that played yesterday that thought, you know what, maybe we should play some in the preseason because there was a lot of sloppy stuff. But I think just inevitably week one, when you're playing four quarters for the first time and you're getting rolling for the first time, there's got to be some sloppiness, and we saw it all over the league.
Corey, yesterday, Amani Hooker has a great game. He forces a fumble on opening kickoff. He has the interception in the game, about had another interception. And yet we get to the end of the game yesterday, Corey, and Amani Hooker is being evaluated with a concussion, and Christian Fulton has another hamstring injury. It just kind of feels like more of the same with those two.
Yeah, it's very concerning. Very concerning. I remember I asked Amani about the concussion issue, you know, in the summer, and he was like, I'm good, you know, and you know, I guess that's, you know, what he's got to say. But I also asked him, you know, are there any other precautions you can take? And, you know, the answer is pretty much no. And, you know, you always feel like once those guys get dinged once or twice, they seem to be more susceptible. But there may not be any data that just stands out more. I don't know, but it's very concerning to me. Because he's had a number of them now. He's an excellent young player who is having an unbelievable day. And so it's troubling. It's troubling. And I don't say troubling from a Titans perspective. I'm saying from an Amani Hooker perspective. You know, you hope the young man's okay. I don't know if they have to change the way he's padded up or if they have to look at the helmet. By the way, let me bring this up, okay, while we're talking about this. So these guardian caps that they wear in practice reduce concussions by 30%. That's what Coach Vrabel has said, correct?
Yeah.
So why are we only wearing them in practice?
It's a great question. And yeah. I wonder if that changes at some point soon here in the NFL.
Well, it just doesn't make any sense. If we can protect them more, why wouldn't we? I mean, look, I understand they're kind of unsightly, whatever. I mean, figure it out. But I'd much rather have a healthy amount of Hooker playing football. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, I mean, they're unsightly. So are most of all these alternative uniforms that teams come out in, but they still allow them to play football in that. That's a great
unsightly.
Point.
They
I'm
put me
you.
On TV 5 days a week.
Very nicely done. Corey, before we let you get out of here, what'd you make of Jordan Love and his performance yesterday, taking down the Chicago Bears once again?
Well, before you anoint yourself NFC championship game losers for the 19th consecutive years, let me just tell you, people wanted to crown the Bears before they ever did anything. And that's
I'm aware.
I was not gloating when we talked about it this summer. I just said, let's just wait and see. They had a long way to go on that roster a year ago. And so I, for one, was not surprised about the result yesterday. I was stunned that – were the Bears a one-point favorite?
They were, yes, about a one-and-a-half, two-point favorite.
Yeah, that was one of the worst lines that I thought I saw all weekend. And so I was not stunned. I was not stunned. So we know now that the Lions and Packers are the two best teams in the world, that the Titans are going to go 0-17. The overreactions to week one are really, really incredible. I mean, the Titan fans were just on tilt yesterday. And I understand the disappointment, but you lost by 1 point on the road against a team expected to contend for its division title. And you made enough mistakes to lose by 20. And you still just lost by one. So, are the Giants 40 points worse than the Cowboys? I don't think so. Are the Bengals, is Joe Burrow going to throw for 82 yards the rest of the season? You think that's what they're thinking in Cincinnati right now?
Probably not.
Okay. So
that contract looks a little rough, eh?
That contract is in trouble.
Yeah, he got paid, and they just mailed it in. He's done. He's not going to show up anymore. But, yeah, I mean, look, there's a lot that's great about week one, and there's a lot that's not great about week one. And, I always say we don't know what we got across the league until, like, week four is in the books. And then you kind of have an idea of where you're at, and then it's up to injuries from beyond there. But look, the Bears will get better because I think they've got some better personnel, but they're not ready to contend for the division title. No. I think if you look, I made my predictions last week. I picked them to finish last in the division.
A level-headed person. Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. Corey, great stuff as always, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
Super Bowl, Super Lions, go Joe.
Yeah, I was going to say, you shouldn't have picked the Bears last. I got a better choice for you.
Oh, boy.
Later, fellas.
Thank you, Corey. Appreciate it. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. We'll continue the conversation on Ryan Tannehill's performance yesterday. Was that his worst performance as a quarterback of the Tennessee Titans? We'll get into that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. I thought that might have been the worst game that Tannehill's played in a Titans uniform. What did you make of his performance yesterday and how it got so bad?
Yeah, I have a hard time thinking that I've seen him play worse than that one, because you talked about the three picks, and then there were two or three more that the Saints had their hands on that could have been picked and maybe should have been. And then the two huge misses to Okonkwo and Tajay Spears, where they were so open he could have practically punted it to those guys.
Yeah.
I mean, those plays don't just happen. I mean, when they do, you have to take advantage of them. You have to seize those plays. And so they were just huge misses. And, they lost by 1 point. They lost by 1 point. You erase one of those mistakes, and they win the game. And you can do that all over the place. And I'm sure the Saints could say probably the same thing. But we're talking about the Titans. And, they lost by 1 point on the road and made enough mistakes, to have lost by 20. So it's an odd game, but it's week one, and that's kind of the norm.
That was Corey Curtis from News 2 with. Thanks to him for joining us in the last segment there. Titans fall 16-15 yesterday to the Saints. They dropped to 0-1 on the season. Ryan Tannehill, 16 of 34 yesterday, 198 yards, no touchdowns, three interceptions. And Joe, as Corey mentioned there, probably could have thrown a couple of more interceptions. I know one for sure was dropped by Lattimore. Alante Taylor got his hands on another one from Tannehill. So you're talking about, you know, potentially five interceptions that he could have thrown yesterday. And then really, you know, maybe even beyond the interceptions, Joe, the play to Okonkwo, the flea flicker that you get the ball back, and Okonkwo is just streaking wide open down the field on the right sideline. You miss that throw. Tajay Spears, late in the fourth quarter, wide open, and Tannehill misses it, throws it out of bounds. Spears has the leap to try to get it and land in bounds and is unable to do so there. Just throws that you can't miss yesterday from Tannehill. And we talked about this earlier. Like, I think in Titans fans' minds, the Cincinnati playoff game, because of the stakes, are probably always going to be associated with Tannehill's worst performance as a member of the Titans because of, I mean, you're the number one seed, home playoff game. If you win that game, you're hosting a conference championship game at home with a chance to go to the Super Bowl. And he came out, he threw three interceptions, and that's all we talked about that offseason was that game. I thought he was worse yesterday than he was in that game. I really did. Like, he was just off from start to finish yesterday. And in the first part of the game, Joe, the offensive line was surrendering pressure. He was getting hit a lot. He got sacked a couple of times. And, you know, it just looked like more of the same from the offensive line from where they picked up a year ago. You know, the Saints were running some stunts, and Skoronski and Dillard were having a hard time kind of handing those off to each other. And Tannehill was getting hit left and right. As the game went on, I thought the protection got a little bit better. And even when Tannehill had a clean pocket at times, Joe, he's just missing throws that you can't miss as a starting NFL quarterback, and missing throws that, quite frankly, we just don't see Ryan Tannehill miss. Like, we've talked about this. Nobody confuses Ryan Tannehill for Patrick Mahomes or Joe Burrow or one of those top guys. But usually when there's a throw that's available to be made, more often than not, he makes the throw. And he was just way off yesterday. And it was weird to see. It was concerning to see.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely the worst he's played that I've seen him. I'd love to know how many games with the Dolphins, most of which I didn't watch at all, he played worse than that. And look, the picks, you know, there's always this. I mean, no one's going to – you heard like the miscommunication. I mean, I think at least on one of them, there was something, you know, that happened, like with Hopkins and he weren't on the same page. So, okay. But he also tried to throw some other ones that weren't caught by the defense. And then every quarterback misses a throw like that here and there. You've got a gimme and you overshoot it or whatever. But for him to miss those two, and then also on the pick that was tipped because Chris Moore was doubled. By the way, we haven't talked about this, but Chris Moore, clearly I was wrong that Chris Moore was ahead of NWI in this offense.
Yeah, he was not Chris yesterday.
Like not nine snaps, and NWI was, you know, was Tannehill's really like most effective target, you know, just in terms of, I mean, he produced. But that play, Chig Okonkwo, kind of weird that he was on that side, so I wonder if there was something run wrong. But bottom line is he's all alone on downfield,
yep.
And I think he gets in. If he doesn't get in, he gets inside the five, and instead you throw to the double cover Chris Moore, and you get a pick out of that. Whether it was PI or not, it's a bad decision. So you got bad decisions, bad throws, very little good. And I don't think it's close in terms of start to finish in a game of Tannehill struggling to that extent. I don't think I've seen that. So what does that mean? You know, why did it happen? I mean, I continue to have people talking about the preseason games, so I can tell that that's going to at some point make me have a total meltdown. why did it happen? I do wonder a little bit about instant offensive line being caved in like an accordion, and then that influencing a quarterback. It happened to Marcus Mariota. It happens to lots of quarterbacks. It has not happened to Ryan Tannehill. One of the things I've been most impressed with about Ryan Tannehill is his toughness and ability to stand in, even when the protection isn't there, take hits, make throws. And I don't know that this was the case, but I have to wonder if after last year, the injury is a terrible year with a left tackle you know can't protect you, and then you come right out. This preseason, we saw that that was a question mark and an issue. You come right out, and boom, they're getting their butts kicked. Did that affect him adversely? If so, you got to be worried about moving forward. We don't want to overreact. Like Corey said, week one can lie through its teeth. But also, this is eight straight losses to the Titans, and their offense in that time, I don't believe, has hit 20 points.
Yeah, it's eight straight loss for the Titans, and you can't score touchdowns. Like it's a huge problem. And look, it's two different teams. It's very different personnel from last year to this year. The Tannehill part of this is interesting, though. Like, in some ways, if you're a Titans fan sitting here today in the aftermath of all this, I guess you look around and you say, well, there's no way he could play as bad as that again, and you still had a chance to win the game. Like, your defense was good enough yesterday where, given as bad as Tannehill played, and I agree, I think it was the worst game that he's played as the Titans. As bad as it was, you still had a chance to win. So I guess if you want to be an optimist today, you say, well, he's going to get better. He'll get back to looking like Ryan Tannehill. With the defense being as strong as we think it can be, then the Titans are still going to have a chance to win a lot of football games. There are some that we've heard from today, though, that say, you know, is this what Tannehill's going to be as they move forward here? Like, why was he that off yesterday? Is it simply the new offense? Was it the offensive line caving in around him? We've had people weigh in today, Joe, and ask the question, is Tannehill's age catching up to him? Is the injuries from last year and him being 35 years old, is his game starting to decline? And is it declined in a sharp way? I don't know. Like, it's hard for me to draw that conclusion after 1 week, but it was jarringly bad from Tannehill yesterday.
It was confirming of all the haters who we made fun of during the whole preseason, by the way.
It was. Well, look,
I mean, it's one game, but he was what people are saying he was that we thought was way, way
well, if
off.
he's going to
But
play
one
like
game.
that, like all the, you know, we've kind of made fun of the predictions heading into the year about the Titans being, you know, a 3 or 4 win team. If he's going to be that bad, then the Titans are going to be picking near the top of the draft. I mean, there's no question about it. I'm
Yeah.
very skeptical that he's going to be anywhere near that bad moving forward.
Oh, I am too. I expect him to bounce back this week and play well, but he has to have support too. He's got to make the throws, of course. But that game to me is such an outlier based on a pretty big sample of his work, right, that we've seen in the city, right? So I expect him to bounce back. I still have questions about everything around him being good enough, and the Titans kind of have to figure out what they want to be. And they got to block better, and they may have to adjust the offensive line at some point. One game, not saying they have to do it now. I'm not saying this week anybody's switching positions, but you can see it on the horizon.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Dave. Dave, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, thanks. My comment about Tannehill and Hopkins, I thought there was several stretches I felt like being facetiously. I thought that it looked like Tannehill had a certain quota he had to throw to Hopkins, no matter if he was open or not. It was just frustrating because it looked like he was, you know, that Hopkins was not open. And yes, he has superpowers to go up and grab things, but he just wasn't open to throw to. But that's what I saw.
Yep, thanks for the call, Dave. It did feel like there was kind of a stretch there where he was force-feeding Hopkins. And Joe, on the other side of that, Treylon Burks with three targets yesterday. He has two catches for 18 yards. He did have a crucial drop, which you got to catch the ball if you're Treylon Burks. But, I mean, Treylon Burks was barely involved at all yesterday for the Titans.
Yeah, and it's a good observation on forcing the ball to Hopkins, which he definitely did at times. I will say this though, most of those plays, it's not like, oh, but this guy was open over here. What are
Right.
you doing? So if everybody's covered, I would probably throw to Hopkins too.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll continue the conversation on Ryan Tannehill, his performance yesterday against the Saints. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
How much you attribute to the struggles you guys had on their defense? How much of it was maybe on you guys?
I gotta give credit to them. They play a good game, but at the end of the day, you know, I have a lot of faith in our guys that we can execute, and myself that we can execute better than we did. You know, we got down and moved the ball at times really well, got down to the red zone, and then weren't able to finish. You know, start the ball with with the ball in the red zone after a huge play by Imani on the first kickoff, and then weren't able to do anything, shot ourselves in the foot multiple times with penalties, got behind the sticks, and when you do that in the red zone, it's going to be hard to consistently convert those. So a lot of procedural things that we can clean up and give ourselves a better chance when we do get down there in the red zone.
That was Ryan Tannehill yesterday after the Titans 16-15 loss to the Saints. Ryan Tannehill, three picks yesterday and two bad misses to wide-open receivers in the second half. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Robbie and Rex are presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Call TJ's team today to see why they're referred to so often. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. Live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Indy Ben has weighed in on the text line. Tannehill was bad? Color me surprised. Although I did predict they would lose this game on your show, when he doesn't have protection, he struggles, and the older he gets, his athleticism to extend plays isn't available to him. This from Indy Ben on the text line.
Is Indy Ben allowed to talk trash this season?
I don't know.
I mean, I guess. It's a free country. Don't get me wrong.
Do whatever
probably
you want.
Not. We believe in freedom of speech. I don't, you know, I don't want anybody to get confused. But I don't know, man. I don't know, Indy Ben. 3-14, you know. Now, of course, when the Colts beat the Titans in a few weeks in Indy to drop the Titans to 0-5, then you can talk some trash,
maybe,
okay?
Maybe so. Will from Bellevue on the text line. Worst case scenario, what do the Titans do if Ryan Tannehill continues to play the way he did in New Orleans? How short is the patience of the Titans to stick with him? That's from Will from Bellevue on the text line.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a fair and natural question. Ryan Tannehill will be the starting quarterback for this team until they're out of the playoff race, which, hey, who knows? It could be 10 games in, you know, something like that. I mean, I don't think it's going to go that poorly. But you are not – as bad as he was yesterday – let me amend that a little bit. If he plays like yesterday, then fine. All bets are off, okay?
Right. I mean, if he plays yesterday for an extended period of time, that's you got to consider doing something at that point.
If he plays at a 28.8 QB rating clip, then fine, bench him. But no, realistically, he's the starter. You're not upgrading by going to either of those guys right now. And their realistic opportunity comes this year when the season is a wash and they're looking toward next year, if that happens. Other than that, it's Tannehill. Now, someone made the point on the text line, and it's a very fair point. Derek Carr getting blasted in the first half. Couldn't set up. And then he comes out and he makes a big play. And you're absolutely right. Derek Carr hit some wide open passes that were available to him against the Titans defense. And Ryan Tannehill did not. No question about it. Derek Carr had a much better day in the end than Ryan Tannehill. I mean, without question. I mean, it's not so that I'm not trying to make an excuse for Tannehill with the practice. I'm just trying to figure out how he could have been so bad on one day like that. I just have never seen, honestly, anything close to that in terms of an entire football game of being late throwing the ball, bad decisions, and missing absolute layup throws. I've not seen that from him.
So they were talking on the broadcast yesterday, and again, it's hard for me to know if this is the case or not without, you know, planting yourself in the mind of Ryan Tannehill. I mean, they were basically talking about like seeing ghosts, right? Like you've been hit a lot. You got hit 10 times yesterday. Tannehill was sacked 3 times. And are you feeling pressure that's not really there? Are you leaving the pocket too early if you're Tannehill? Are you not going through as many reads as you should be going through because you're scared that you're about to get hit, maybe fumble the ball? Like, you know, Ross Tucker and Jason McCourty were talking about that yesterday, that maybe Tannehill's seeing ghosts a little bit in there, which to your point, Joe, I don't think it's really ever been an issue with him prior to last year. I mean, you know, he did have the ankle injury a couple of times last year, and the offensive line was very bad to begin the game. I mean, the first possession, Imani Hooker makes a great play on the opening kickoff, and then the Titans proceed to go -8 yards after that. In the first half, Tannehill was getting hit left and right. Do you put any stock into maybe Tannehill seeing some ghosts in the pocket out there and that potentially leading to the performance we saw yesterday?
It happens to human beings who play this game, a lot of them. And, again, it hadn't happened to him, but maybe. I think it's – Because some of his escapes, he had some good escapes, you know, to avoid pressure and extend plays, give himself more time. But I thought he also looked to escape sometimes when actually he had a little bit of an area to just stand in and go through his reads. And then again, so you have that, and then at times, then the ball's out a little bit late, you know. So it was all mixed up and a mess. But, yeah, I mean, I think it affected him too much. And I guess, you know, it's easy for all of us to say, Ryan, just stand in there, man. Just stand in there and go through your reads and make the throws. You know, it's very easy for someone who isn't in the middle of, you know, 6'5", 260-pound dudes trying to throw you to the ground, to say, yeah, just stand in there. I will say, you know, I think once quarterbacks, I mean, Mariota definitely had this eventually. He got so many injuries here, and there's no doubt that he saw ghosts when he was here, and it affected his play. I think it's hard to get out of that once you get into it.
Well, and here's the thing, Joe, too, because a lot of people are talking about this on the text line, and we talked about it earlier in the show. As bad as Tannehill was yesterday, and the three picks, could have thrown a couple more, missing guys wide open that would have been touchdowns. You hit one of those, you probably win the game yesterday. So I'm not saying that, you know, the Titans lost the game because of this call, but the call on Derek Carr yesterday, where it was, I thought, clearly a fumble. They ruled it incomplete. They went back and looked at it, and video replay said it was incomplete. I've watched that replay probably 30, 35 times now at this point. I can't for the life of me figure out how they determine that play is incomplete. The ball's completely out of his hand after Arden Key swats it. It comes back forward, and he basically, like, pushes it volleyball style forward with his fist closed there. Like, it, to me, it's about as clear as it gets in terms of a fumble. But even if you don't think it was a fumble, the fact that they blew that play dead when the fumble bounces up, Kevin Byard picks it up, he's running scot-free in the end zone. Nobody was catching him, even if they don't blow the whistle. It's mind-boggling to me that happened yesterday. And I said it earlier, Joe, and I'll say it again. You know, the original call on the field was incomplete. You go back, you take a look at it. I for the life of me, don't know how you go back, watch that replay, and determine that play is incomplete. The first thing I thought yesterday when they got out of the replay booth and they said that the call stood and that the play was incomplete was, oh my gosh, you guys are so it's so cowardly that you don't want to admit that you made a mistake, that you're going with the call on the field because you don't want to admit that you just took a touchdown away from the Titans. That was the first thought I had when Ron Torbert came back out of the booth.
That would be truly, truly awful. And that's the thing. It's awful to blow. I mean, this should be very clear to officials in this league. If there's any sort of hit of the arm and the ball's loose and someone picks it up, just let the play go. Let the play go. You can go back and change that. Say, no, but it was incomplete. Okay, fine. No damage done. But if it is a fumble, by blowing the whistle there, you just totally screwed things up. So, yeah, I mean, I hope that's not the case.
There's no way for me to prove that. That's just the first thought I had was, oh, my gosh, they're not reversing this call because they're trying to cover their own selves.
But I will say, yeah, well, and that's just, again, that's why you don't just blow the whistle. This is very simple. This happens so much. And, I mean, this play happens so much. And Vrabel's right. It's like next week that'll be incomplete. Or next week that'll be a fumble. And the next week it'll be incomplete. It's completely inconsistent. If Gene Steratore and everybody in the announcing crew is unified that it's a fumble, you don't see that too often and then see the different call. So – it's and obviously, like, that's 16-3 Titans. Well, how's the game end up if 16-3 Titans right then?
Look, Vrabel was diplomatic about it yesterday, and I hear what he's saying. And again, if Tannehill hits one of those passes, the Titans win yesterday, and we're not even probably talking about this because it's not a huge deal. But the fact of the matter is, if the game plays out the same way yesterday, and Tannehill misses the passes that he missed, and he throws the interceptions that he threw, but they don't screw up that call, Titans still win the game. That's the fact of the matter. So, you know, I'm never much into the refs cost somebody the game, and the blame is squarely on Tannehill for me today in terms of some of the throws that he missed. But again, you make the right call in that situation, and the Titans still win the game.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, you have to have the approach of, yeah, not why, you know, you have to move on because you know bad calls are going to happen, you know.
Right.
Again, Molden mugged Olave in the end zone. They didn't call PI. I tried to make a joke on Twitter. Is that the worst missed DPI in Superdome history? No one picked up on it, but, you know, I tried. I mean, there's always going to be bad calls, stuff like that. So, you have to. Yeah, thank you. But you have to move on and dismiss it, whatever. But, yeah, I mean, this is why – said it earlier. I'll say it again. We'll say it forever and ever. This is why officials should be available after games to talk about the decision. Why? Tell us why you guys said to do this. This is why any sort of suspension, fine, anything like that should be public knowledge. And they should be paid more. They have such power over the outcomes of games. And, you know, a lot of people notice that too, by the way. Maybe yep. People have heard of Tim Donaghy. They need to be publicly accountable. More investment needs to be made in officiating. And all, just like in the NFL, the transaction wire, all that stuff is all public. Same thing with officials. This idea, and I understand, you know, some people will say, well, it's a safety issue and all that stuff. Well, you know what? All these public figures are playing the game too, and they're coaching the game too. There's no reason that they should be treated any differently because they have a huge impact on the outcome of games. And the fact that there's not public accountability is just ridiculous. And there's so much at stake now. There's so much more money now. This needs to change.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll take your final thoughts on the Titans and their season-opening loss to the Saints coming up next. Titans home opener this weekend, and we want you to tailgate with us downtown before kickoff. Join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Teddy's Tavern, located across from Bridgestone Arena Plaza, this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30. They'll break down the Titans Week 2 matchup against the Chargers and give you the latest updates before the game. Our NFL pregame show is presented by Parma Tractor and Equipment and The Beast Unleashed. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keiser here with you on this Monday morning, taking your thoughts on the Titans. Let's go to our 102.5, The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Nate. Nate, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
What's up, guys? I know that we need more accountability with the officials, and I, like y'all were saying, I am not blaming the officials for the entire game. But from my understanding, and tell me if I'm wrong, it sounds like the only accountability we really have with them is whether they get to participate in high state games, like playoff games and in the season games. And that's really their only, I guess, reward for doing a great job. Am I correct in assuming that?
I mean, that we know about, yeah, they get evaluated, but that's internally. And yes, I mean, the punishment that we usually hear about is they're not refereeing playoff games.
Yeah, that's that basically really? That's like,
go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, that's like the pub. I'm sorry, that's like the public. And like, think about the NCAA tournament. I mean, those guys in the tournament, it's like, you know, that like they're evaluated as they go, and it's almost like advancing with that too, you know. So yes, I think you know, they're also just evaluated, and then they're put on certain games in regular season based on that too, right?
Yeah, but is that really enough to have them wanting to do their very best at what they do? And obviously they're not full-time, which, again, they should be. But, I mean, that's a whole nother discussion.
Thanks for calling, Nate.
It's not enough. I mean, there should be more reward. They should be more valued. They should be more trained. It's all of it. We talk about the ridiculous amount of money in the NFL or even in college athletics, whatever, like football. But, you know, I mean, you can go to other sports too, but like, you have all this money, and it's absurd how little investment there is in this incredibly crucial and incredibly vulnerable aspect of the game. And I'm not saying this like talking off yesterday's game like I thought there was any funny business. I'm just saying you have to keep that in mind, right?
Yeah.
Like, you have to deter that. And the way you deter it is to compensate people and reward them for good performance at an appropriate level in a league where, you know, I mean, your commissioner, what does Goodell pull down a year? 30
million? $40 million a year, isn't it?
or whatever. I mean, like, NFL officials shouldn't make like 150K or whatever it is. And someone can correct me, maybe 200. They should make more than that. They should make a lot of money to me. And the good ones should make more than the lesser ones because you should incentivize performance.
By the way, Roger Goodell's most recent salary is believed to be nearly $64 million per year. What do you think of that?
Okay. I mean, give up 8 of that. Give up 8 million of that. And, you know, officiating gets better.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Santa in Portland. Santa, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Robbie, Joe, I promise not to mention preseason. As a retired air traffic controller, whose every word was recorded while I worked, so that in the event something bad happened, you could go back and check, and you could go back and see. I think it would be very, very easy for this to happen, especially over there when they're behind their little iPad or lap or whatever they're doing is watching and having their conversations with the office in New York. And it doesn't have to be, you know, put out wide for fans, but there should be some internal mechanism for a coach group or a staff group to get together, rules committee, whatever they do, this competition committee that I hear talked about all the time, and say, hey, this crew messed up. And this is the consequence, and there should be. And I agree with Joe. They should pay him a lot more. You guys enjoy the rest of your week.
Thanks, Santa. Appreciate you. Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line and welcome in David. David, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning. Well, I was at the game yesterday, and I'm a Saints fan, and I agree. I believe that was a fumble from what I could see on the screen from the dome. Looks like the ball was loose in his hand. But as a Saints fan, we don't have much sympathy for bad officiating. So I think there were a couple of bad calls that went against the Saints, too, in that game. But, yeah, something's got to be done about this officiating. And any hint that there's impropriety with the batting lines and everything, it's just eventually it's gonna cost the NFL if something isn't done about it. So just wanted to get my feelings on that.
Yep, thanks for the call, David. Appreciate it. So, Joe, bottom line is you look at the Titans. Storylines yesterday, Tannehill, very bad. And that's about as bad as we've seen him play for the Titans. I didn't think the offensive line was very good. Derrick Henry plays basically 48% of the snaps yesterday for the Titans offensively. And then on the other side of the ball, I thought the Titans were pretty good defensively for the most part. Now, they did give up over 300 yards passing to the Saints. And Christian Fulton with another hamstring injury. And now Amani Hooker with a concussion. So, now looking forward, and we're going to have all week to get to the Titans and the Chargers, but what is Fulton's status coming up? What is Hooker's status coming up for this game? Because they're going to need him. I mean, you're going to need those guys. Hooker played great yesterday, and it's a shame that here we are week one, and both those guys are dealing with injuries again.
Yeah, but I want to complain more about the referees. Can we do that more?
We can.
No. It's the underrated thing coming out of yesterday, because so much of the focus is on Tannehill, as it should be. I mean, he's the main reason they lost the game. Those two guys, take them out of that secondary. Take Fulton out of the secondary. I didn't think Sean Murphy Bunting had a very good debut. Take Fulton out of the secondary. Take Hooker. And I think Hooker is becoming a star player.
Yeah.
Hooker is becoming a great player to go with Byard back there. And you take him off the field now. And, man, you know, hamstrings, that soft tissue stuff is terrible. I feel for Christian Fulton. He's tried to do everything he can do, and he just can't get away from it. But concussions are something totally different and can be obviously career-threatening at some point. So you hate to see that. And they don't have safety depth. We've talked about that. I mean, Molden can come in and you bump McCreary outside in the slot, but then you also don't have Molden to come in at safety with Hooker out. So all of a sudden they're stretched very thin.
No question about it. We'll continue to react to this tomorrow, get into some college football over the weekend as well. Big college football week. That's tomorrow on the show. Coming up next, it is the Chase and Big Joe show. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 The Game.